you in peace from God, our Creator and our Redeemer. This morning's texts are all about seeking and not quite finding what you're looking for. In our first lesson, Joseph is sent by his father to find his brothers so that he can bring back news about how they're doing. And in this long Joseph saga, we know the story. Joseph goes to try and find his brothers. They are not where he thinks they should be. And when he does find them, while he is still far off, his brothers determine that they should kill him. It's an unexpected turn of events, certainly for a family in the near Middle East. The brothers are jealous, and they choose to do what is forbidden, to break the family. And so they throw Joseph into a pit. It's an unexpected moment that ends in an unexpected way. You know, and we will hear the story a little bit later, that Joseph will rise to become a great prince against all odds. And that the very brothers who threw him into the pit to preserve their own place in the family find themselves at his command. The gospel lesson is, again, a story about things being sought and not quite found. This gospel in the 14th chapter of Matthew continues as Jesus now has left the mountain and he goes off to a place by himself. Again, his cousin has been killed. He is grieving and the crowds are relentless. And so Jesus has gone off into a place by himself. He's fed the 5,000. Again, he goes off by himself, even to the point that he makes the disciples get into the boat and go over to the other side by themselves. In the Markan version of this text, Jesus encounters them on the water, but Mark says, Jesus sees that they're in trouble and he intends to just keep going, to ignore them. Jesus seeks solitude and respite and quiet. But he will not find it. At least not here. Jesus sends the disciples out in the boat and he dismisses the crowd and he goes up into the mountain by himself to pray and he is there alone. But the boat in which he sent the disciples off is now battered by the waves, far from land. And so the next morning, as Jesus is walking across the water, I love how Matthew characterizes this as a completely normal and expected thing. As Jesus walks out across the sea, the disciples see him and they cry out, "It's a ghost!" And they're afraid. I think I would be as well. But immediately Jesus, drawn out of his solitude, back into the fray of things, says, "Take heart. Here I am. Do not be afraid." Then we hear from Peter. Peter says, "Lord," he sees an opportunity, "Lord, call me out on to the water." Jesus says, "Come." Peter takes those first few tentative steps and suddenly sinks. He was seeking power, maybe, I don't know, admiration, proof of his own faith. It's hard to tell whether Peter was testing Jesus or himself in this text. But there he goes, out onto the water, and he begins to sink. He lives up to his name, Peter, Petros, stone, and down he goes. We'll see this in Peter again, later at the end of Jesus' life. Peter, as he sits in the common area as they are questioning Jesus. Peter's faith will falter there as well. When someone asks, "Are you not a Galilean? Are you not one of them?" And Peter will deny Jesus. Peter sinks and Jesus reaches out and pulls him up. When they get back into the boat, they suddenly confess again, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So I've been thinking in these last few months, and especially in this last week, how many of you and I have had our faith tried. How often we have sought something and not found what we had hoped for. Some days maybe we feel like Joseph, who we just go out on an innocent journey and find ourselves in a pit that will change our lives. How do we hang on to our faith and our community when we can't gather together as we're used to doing? How can we hang on to our faith and our community in the face of political unrest, the tragedy in Beirut, plane crash in India? It's as if it is all piling on. Sometimes it feels like just as we step out with those tentative steps out onto the water, we sink. How, in the face of such change and tragedy to the fundamental and foundational parts of our life, of everything we know, how, in the face of all that, will we look up and continue to say to Jesus, "You are truly the Son of God"? I wish I had an easy answer. I wish I could just say, "Look, it's all going to be okay, that we're all going to end up like Joseph. We're going to come out of the pit and we're going to go to Egypt and everything is going to be made great someday. The virus will disappear, planes will quit dropping out of the sky, people in Hawaii will finally be able to go visit their relatives on the mainland without a 2-week quarantine." I wish I could say that within the next few days or weeks, people will stop dying from this horrible virus. But I can't. No one can. In a way, we're stuck in the pit. We're stuck sinking, living up to Peter's name. So what do we do? How do we continue to be God's people, God's hopeful people, in the midst of all of this? I go back to our gospel story and to Joseph. It's powerful and important to remember that in both of these stories, these horrible stories in many ways, God remains with Joseph and with Peter through it all. I wonder, as Peter was going under, what he was thinking. Did he really expect Jesus to reach out and pull him up? Was it going to be the Matthean Jesus, or was it going to be the Markan Jesus who had decided he was just going to keep going? Was there a moment in Peter's thoughts when he thought, "This is going to be it"? Whatever Peter thinks, whatever Joseph feels, God remains with them and with us. God chooses you and I and our world. Not as a capricious sort of hobby, but as our work for life. How do we get up and keep being the community of God, even though we can no longer worship together the way that we would like? Even though, at least for us, we have to fight with Facebook to keep worshiping? How do we continue to be a community when we can no longer touch and see one another? How can we continue to love one another when we cannot even fully see one another's faces? Well, we start by continuing to take that first step on the water. That first tentative step. Begins as the people of God take chances and learn to be the body of Christ in new ways. Yes, we're virtual or online, but we are still God's people together. Yes, we are isolated on an island, but we can pray for and work for relief in Brave Root and for our neighbors around the world. We continue to take that first tentative step onto the water, knowing full well that we might sink. We may even find ourselves, like Peter, feeling like we're drowning. But Christ grasps us and pulls us out again and again, like Joseph out of the pit and Peter out of the water. And we will step out of the boat again and again. Not because we choose or try to prove anything or to show ourselves as superior to anyone else, but because that is simply what God calls us to do. To keep taking chances, keep changing, keep evolving, keep sharing the love of God in the midst of all of this. So that though our foundations may be shaken and our souls are in grief, though we may at times not be sure what the outcome will be, God will still travel with us and remain with us and love us. How can we do all of this? Well, because we love each other and we love the world. So Jesus keeps calling us out to step on the water and continues to remain with us as we lie in the pit, whispering, shouting, and calling us, "I will be with you forever." Amen. Let's join together in singing the hymn of the day. Please rise as you're able.